News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It is Friday. I feel good, and I feel especially good because we've got our best doctor in the house with Neil Clinic. We have Dr. Ben McMillan with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah. Great morning. Always fun to start with little James Brown first thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on again this morning, Meg.
So what's new? What's happening at the Neil Clinic?
We got a few new things to get into today that I'm excited to talk about. But like Meg said, my name's Dr. Ben McMillan. I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neil Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare right here in Pensacola. I've got a few things that we're going to talk about this morning. Some things that, you know, a lot of people really never get told before. And that's, you know, what I want to get into first thing this morning. But first, if you're tuned in and listening with us this morning and you've got a question that you've always wanted to ask a chiropractor about, I've got great news for you. Send us in a text message with your question. I'll answer as many of those as I can get to this morning. I always love when you guys participate out there driving around, and I'll answer as many of those as we can get into this morning. What's the phone number they send those text messages
into?
You
can definitely text in at 850-437-1620.
All right, so let's get into it this morning. Something that I see in my office almost more than anything else is somebody that's been in a car accident, and they come in a week or two later and they say, you know, Dr. McMillan, I felt totally fine right after my accident. You know, I was in the accident a few weeks ago, went home, went to work, everything was going okay, but now I can't really turn my head as far without having pain, or I'm getting headaches every day now, and I never used to have headaches before. My neck is just constantly aching. And my answer is pretty much always the same for that. That's a completely normal response to having the injuries that you get when you have an auto accident, and here's why. Adrenaline, it's going to mask your pain initially. When we have something like an accident or a fall or something like that, even a low-speed car accident, what happens is your body releases these hormones and these chemicals, adrenaline and cortisol. And those hormones are designed to kind of protect your body in the moment. They mask these pain signals. So, you know, somebody slams into the back of your car and it kind of startles you. And initially, you kind of look around the car, you take inventory of like, oh my gosh, did I hit my head? Is anything bleeding? Does anything feel broken? You get out of the car, you know, you feel okay, and you think, oh, phew, dodged a bullet, like I'm okay. But what's actually happening underneath is this soft tissue damage. Those muscles, those ligaments, these are pretty delicate structures that surround your spine. They don't really announce themselves until after that adrenaline wears off. And sometimes it can take a few hours. Sometimes it takes a few days. You know, maybe it's the Friday afternoon on the way home and that happens. And you kind of rest over the weekend. And then, you know, you get back to work and that stuff really starts to flare up. Things that used to not cause pain, going to sleep, trying to get comfortable in bed, and you're just tossing and turning all night. Waking up in the morning and you've just got a headache, and that was never anything you experienced before. That sort of stuff is so common after these car accidents. I see it all the time. And whiplash, you know, that injury where your kind of neck gets launched forward or backwards or side to side, it really depends on how you were hit. You know, if you're hit from the side, you'll go that left to right motion or right to left, depending on where they hit you. A lot of times getting rear-ended, your head kind of goes forward and then snaps back pretty quickly. Those are pretty widely misunderstood, but it's one of the most common injuries from auto accidents, and it's often dismissed, even by patients. It's not just like emergency rooms that are dismissing these things. But what's happened is you strain the muscles and ligaments that surround your spine. You've got a lot of, you know, ligaments connect bone to bone. Those tendons connect muscles to bone. And there's a lot of really small muscles in your upper neck and back that give you the support and ability to turn your head and neck. And you don't have to be hit hard to have those injured. Again, some of them are pretty delicate and pretty sensitive. Even collisions at, you know, 10 or 15 miles an hour can cause significant whiplash injuries. And that's the ones that I really see people kind of delay that care. Like, oh man, you know, I was fine. I drove my car away and I didn't really think anything happened, but now my neck is just so sore. I had a patient a few weeks ago, probably about a month and a half ago now. Let's call her, let's use the name Maria. She was a nurse in Pensacola driving to work on 9th Avenue, and somebody ran into the back of her at a red light. She felt, you know, kind of shaken up, kind of disoriented initially, but she felt good enough to even go into work just a little late that day. And inevitably, you know, a few weeks later, she came in to see me because she was waking up with those headaches and turning over her left shoulder, like she was trying to back out of her driveway, and she couldn't turn to really look behind her to back up. And she said that hadn't happened before, and it just is getting worse and worse. Work was getting tough for her. And during her examination, she had some joint restrictions in the neck. And when those joints get injured, what happens is the muscles do this thing called a guarding response. The muscles get really, really tight to make sure that you're not going to injure those joints even further. So it's not only the joints that aren't moving well, but now the muscles are involved as well with that guarding response. And this is stuff that won't show up on x-rays or CT scans, which is often what they do in the emergency room. And I want to talk about that in just a minute too, you know, what happens when you go to the emergency room after a car accident. But anyway, back to Maria. After treating her for a few weeks, those symptoms really began to improve. You know, sleep got better. That's a big one. If you're not sleeping well, it makes days very long. You know, if you're, and that's also a really good time for our body to heal. If you're not sleeping well, that's our body's time to, you know, let everything start to calm down. We start to rebuild and repair those ligaments because you're not moving them as much. And that range of motion started to improve. And again, this was probably a month and a half ago now, and she's back to pretty much normal. You know, no headaches anymore. Sleep's going well. Still occasional soreness that she didn't have prior to the accident with lifting and moving patients around. You know, nurses have a very physical profession. You know, a lot more so than I realized prior to becoming a chiropractor. I'd say nurses are one of the top, you know, professions that I treat just because how hard their job is on a daily basis. But here's what I told her and what I want to tell you too. If she had waited 6 more months before she came in, you know, she tried to just stick it out and take that ibuprofen every day, the recovery would have taken much longer. And she may have even resulted in, you know, dealing with some chronic pain or some chronic symptoms for years. And that's kind of the long-term cost of doing nothing. Untreated spinal injuries don't just go away. That stuff just doesn't disappear overnight like magic. What happens is they become scar tissue, and then it becomes this chronic inflammatory response. That's the reason you're going to end up taking ibuprofen, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, down the road, and why your back is always going to hurt. And what can happen is that scar tissue over time can start to calcify, and it turns into osteophytes, which are bone spurs, right? In those areas of injury where you have that ligament or tendon damage, your body's going to start to deposit calcium in those areas around that scar tissue if you don't do something to get that joint mobility working again. And early chiropractic care after something like an accident isn't just about feeling better now. It's about protecting your body in the long term. And I get it. I know what some of you guys are thinking. He's a chiropractor. Of course, he thinks chiropractic care is good, which is true. But I get that. But look, it's not just my opinion about this stuff. Meg, do you remember, you know, in the 90s, 80s, 90s, people used to get in car accidents. You remember seeing people walking around with those big cervical collars, those neck braces?
Absolutely.
Do you see anybody with a neck brace on in the grocery store?
Now that you say that, not lately, no.
Yeah, they found when they started doing research on this stuff that the more you restrict that joint movement, if you just put that cervical collar on and you don't turn your neck or you don't move it at all, they looked at long-term studies of this stuff, and they found that restricting that joint movement early on caused significantly worse outcomes than if we get the joints moving again. You know, and they stopped that again, like the late 90s, so, you know, maybe even into the early 2000s. That was standard practice. You got in a car accident, went to the emergency room, you left with one of those neck braces.
True.
But they don't stop doing that. It's not because people stop getting in car accidents. Again, they found that that was bad.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, talking with Dr. Ben McMillan. He is here with the Neal Clinic. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to text it in at 850-437-6020. And Dr. Ben, I do have a question that came in. I hear you do the activator method. What is different about that?
Yeah, sure. So when people think about going to see a chiropractor, if you've seen any YouTube videos, Instagram, TikTok, you know, they're pretty popular on those platforms right now. A lot of times what you think of is getting bent and twist and your neck popped or cracked, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we do that from time to time. You'll see people twist their neck and you hear that popping noise. So as chiropractors, what we can do is we can use our hands to move the joints. And oftentimes it elicits that popping noise. And those are called manual adjustments. Again, we're using our hands to restore joint motion to the neck or the back. But in order to do that, we have to move your head and neck around in a few different positions. So I can use my hand to put the line of drive with that force in the right direction because the joints are all oriented in a different plane. So we can't just push the same way on every joint. It doesn't work that way. So what they did is they developed a tool that can do something very similar. It's called the activator. It's this little handheld instrument that applies this a very similar concept as using our hands. When we use our hands to do the adjustments or the activator, it's a high velocity, low amplitude thrust through the joint space. So what that means is it needs to be quick. That's that high velocity. The speed has to be really fast. Just like if you pop your knuckles, right? You wouldn't, you know, really just smash your hands together. It's just a quick little press on your knuckles to get the joints moving. So instead of using our hands and bending and twisting your neck or your back to use my hands to do that, you just lay completely flat on a table, and I can use this very precise tool, the activator, to apply that thrust through the joint space. And I can change the angle of the tool, so again, I don't have to bend and twist you in a different position. The other difference with the activator is when we use our hands, the surface area of my hand to apply that force is a lot bigger than the tool. The tool, the tip of the instrument's about the size of the tip of your pinky. And they did that because that's the size of the like an individual vertebral joint. So we can work on one joint at a time.
Wow.
And when we decrease that surface area, we also get to decrease the amount of pressure and force we have to use because instead of using my hand where I'm contacting multiple joints at once, so I have to use more force because I'm trying to move more than one, we can just move one joint at a time. And it's a very precise amount of force and much less. So oftentimes patients, you know, that maybe they're a little hesitant or nervous, especially like we were talking about the auto accidents. A lot of people right after that car accident, they say, man, I don't know about going to the chiropractor. My neck already hurts, and I've seen videos of this stuff. It doesn't look like that would make me any better.
Yeah, it doesn't look like fun.
Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. A lot of people walk away feeling worse sometimes after those manual adjustments too early when we could have used something like the activator, which we don't have to use as much force. We don't have to twist your head in that position that might be causing more discomfort. And when you have pain in those positions, those muscles are going to get tight and you're trying to kind of fight what I'm trying to do to get the joints moving again with my hands. And that's why we use tools like the activator method. It's just another tool in our toolbox to help you get better faster. It also allows us to treat patients that maybe can't have manual adjustments done to them. People that have conditions like osteoporosis where that bone density is starting to decrease, the bones are a little more brittle, a little more frail. Those are patients that can't have manual adjustments because of the risk of a fracture, because if you use too much force, you can injure those people. Well, with the activator, we can make sure we're using a significantly less force because of the way that the tool's designed. People that have had surgical fusions in their back, again, they might have been told by their chiropractors, hey, we can't adjust your back because you've got this fusion. The surgeons don't want these joints to move. So we can't move those because we can't guarantee we're not moving those joints when we're using our hands. That's exactly the type of patients that the activator is really, really good at treating, because when they fuse those areas on your spine, we know you're going to have more pressure right above and right below that fusion just because you're trying to get the joint motion from somewhere and those areas are locked down. So right above and right below are going to have more stress on them, but we can guarantee that we're just on the joint right above or right below that fusion with the activator. It's a great tool, and really a lot of my patients love it because it's a little less pressure and they get better faster.
That's amazing to hear about this method. I'd never heard about this before. If you've got a question, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Got another question coming in, Dr. Ben, about car accidents. Because of the new Florida law with short deadlines to see the doctor, does it make sense to get checked out after a car wreck, even if you don't hurt badly?
Absolutely. It's a little interesting. I don't really know why they ended up passing this law or how they ended up with, the timeline that they did. But there's a law in the state of Florida that you have 14 days from the date of your accident to seek medical treatment in order to use your car insurance, which we'll get into in a little bit, to cover the cost of your medical expenses from the auto accident. How they picked 14 days, I do not know.
It's sort of random,
yeah,
isn't it?
It seems unusual. You know, why not 16? Why not 22? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where they ended up with 14. And that's not like, it was about 2 weeks after the accident. If you do not seek care within exactly 14 days after that, the insurance company doesn't care if you had a vacation planned or you were out of town or you know, a lot of times you're in a car accident. You don't have transportation. They don't care that you didn't get a rental car, that your car wasn't fixed in time. If you don't seek care within that 14 days, your coverage for that stuff through your car insurance is gone. And it's frustrating. I see it from patients from time to time where they call and they say, yeah, that car accident was 3 weeks ago. I didn't go see anybody, but I'm having pain now. Now they're stuck paying for the cost of this medical care that should have been covered by their auto insurance because that's what it's built there for, right? That's why you're paying car insurance every month, is to get your car fixed, to get those medical bills covered if something happens while you're driving.
Okay, great answer to that question. I know what to do now. I got another question that's coming from a listener. If I'm not yet your patient, how long does it take to get an appointment with you, and what does it cost?
That's a great question. We get that a lot. Do you need a referral? That's the biggest one. A lot of people that have been to other doctors or they're trying to see what they consider a specialist are like, oh, I got to go to my primary care. I've got to go get x-rays. Then I can come and see you. That's not the way it works with chiropractic care. We're what's called a portal of entry physician. So you do not have to have a referral to come in and see us. We're in network with most of the major insurance companies, and almost every insurance policy has some sort of chiropractic benefits with them now. And that's not because the insurance companies are just really, really nice. That's not the way insurance companies work. They just have seen the studies of this stuff. They realize how much of a benefit chiropractic care can have to reduce things like surgeries, to reduce things like having to take medications forever. You know, it's... They've studied this stuff. They know it works. That's why there's coverage for them now. We can typically get you in within about 24 hours. You know, if you call Janet, she does a great job getting you guys in as quickly as possible, because when she answers that phone and you call, no one just calls to say, hey, I really just want to see how Dr. McMillan's doing today. Every single person that calls my office is in pain. We know that when we answer the phone. So we do our best to try and get you in as quickly as possible, because if we can have you leave our office and have less pain as quickly as possible, that's a win for both of us. You'll come back saying, man, I'm glad I didn't have to wait 2 or 3 weeks to get in to see you. It's, I don't know, Meg, if you've had this experience recently, but I talked to patients that, like, you know, maybe their primary care doctor retired and they're trying to get somebody else. And they said, yeah, I got a new primary care, but it's going to be, you know, 3 months before they're able to get
in.
It's
bad right now.
It's
for sure.
And it's frustrating because, you know, maybe you need medication refills. Maybe you are, you know, it's something that, I don't understand how it takes that long to get into some of these providers, but we do a great job at our office trying to get you in with the time that will work with you and our schedule so we can get you treated as quickly as possible. Because again, things like this 14-day rule, the timing matters. You know, don't just delay this stuff longer and longer. Keep kicking the can down the road because that leads to more problems later on. So that's one thing, you know, the patient that messaged about the auto accident, mm-hmm. and should we get checked out? Absolutely. There's no harm in doing that. You know, we offer a no-cost consultation because sometimes your case is not a chiropractic case. And if it's not, and it's not something that I think I can treat, you know, if you come in with hip pain, there's a lot of stuff that chiropractic care can do to help with hip or back pain. But if it's something that, you know, I'm looking at your x-rays or your MRI and I think you need to go see an orthopedic doctor, I'll refer you where you need to go. I'll send you to the type of doctor you need to see.
You're listening to Pep Talk, and we've got questions coming in from our listeners at 850-437-1620. This is a good one. Does an MRI give you the best image of what's going on with your joint?
Yes and no. MRIs are really, really beneficial because we're able to see soft tissue in those. So we can see things like a disc herniation. We can see things like nerve compression. They'll call it edema, which is swelling or inflammation around soft tissue injuries. X-rays, on the other hand, they won't show us any of that soft tissue. All they're going to show us are bones. They can show us arthritis on those x-rays. Fractures oftentimes pop up on the x-rays. Alignment issues you can see on the x-rays. MRIs do a really good job of showing us a lot of the picture. Now, I want to talk about the MRIs for just a second, because you would think that if we read this MRI and we see a mild disc herniation in one patient and we see on another patient large disc herniation, we would think that those symptoms correlate. The patient with the small disc herniation probably feels a little better than the patient with the large disc herniation. Makes sense. That's not the entire story. What they found is they'll ask patients about their pain and about their symptoms, and those don't always line up with the imaging findings, which is kind of confusing, and they don't really know why. Some people have small disc herniations and very little nerve compression. There's some there, but it's not as much as some of the people with significant disc herniations that maybe don't have that bad of symptoms. And I've seen it in my clinic. There's one incident that really sticks out in my mind. I've never seen it before or since she came into the office, but the radiologist wrote massive disc herniation on the MRI, and it was. I mean, it was the biggest one I've ever seen. And she came into my office, and I said, "Oh, man, I saw your MRI. How you feeling?" She goes, "Oh, not too bad." I said, "Okay, let's go through some ranges of motion. Can you bend down and touch it?" And she put her hands on the floor when she bent down.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, she was relatively, not symptom-free, but they weren't severe. And I've also seen patients that, limp into the clinic, and I look at their imaging, and they have small disc herniations. Doesn't seem like it should be that bad. But these patients aren't faking this stuff. They're not limping into, because they like walking that way. So, yes, the MRIs do give me a lot of information. As far as the examination, I've kind of got the answers to the test before we go into it. But it's not always the full picture, because sometimes you need to get an MRI in what's called flexion extension, because maybe it's positional that you're having pain. Like, maybe you can sit and you have no pain, but if you bend down, the disc structures are dynamic. If you have no pain laying down, but if you stand up, you have significant pain, and we take that MRI and you lay on the table when you're in there, maybe it doesn't show the disc herniation pressing. But if we take one weight-bearing where you're sitting or standing, it can show something different. So that sort of stuff matters as well, which is why even if I have the MRI, we still go through the examination process and the consultation. I don't just read your images and say I know exactly what to do. I need to know how it's affecting you. What can you do? What do you have pain doing? How can I get you to modify some of those lifestyle behaviors? How are you sleeping? Because that's really the full picture. So, yes, the MRIs are a very good tool to help me see exactly what's going on. I don't have x-ray vision. I could probably, determine a lot of this stuff based on your exam, as far as nerve compression, what are your symptoms? But again, I can't see through your spine and see exactly what's going on, which is exactly what the MRIs help with. So they're a great tool, but does everybody have to have an MRI or an x-ray to come in? Absolutely not. If you come in and you say, "Hey, I slept funny and my neck hurts," we probably don't need an x-ray of your neck to treat that. We definitely don't. But if you fell off your roof and you're having back pain, yeah, I'm sending you for an x-ray on day one, because I want to make sure there's nothing broken and I'm not going to make anything worse.
We've got time for just one more question. What is your fee for the initial consultation?
The consultation, there's no charge for. I need to make sure that it's something that I can actually treat. Once we start going through the examination, before we get going into that examination even, we'll verify your insurance benefits. We'll come back and discuss with you the financial obligations for that stuff, because every insurance policy is a little different. So our insurance team will come back there and tell you exactly how much it will cost for your examination, your treatments, any therapies we do before you incur any costs, because you need to make sure that it's something that's financially feasible for you. And Meg's giving me that sign I've run out of time again. Thanks again for all those questions this morning, guys. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic. Our phone number is 850-479-2700, or you can find us online at nealclinic.com, NEALclinic.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic. What a great way to start the weekend, going into our Friday with Dr. Ben. Thank you, sir, for being here. This is Pep Talk.